you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is freight performance measures. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Before I go any further, I do want to let those of you who are calling into the teleconference for the audio know that you do need to mute your computer speakers, or else you'll be getting the audio over your computer as well, so that'll just prevent any echo that you might be hearing. Today we'll have three presenters: Bill Gardner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation, Gordon Proctor of Gordon Proctor & Associates, and Jeff Short of the American Transportation Research Institute. Bill Gardner is Director of Minnesota DOT's Office of Freight and Commercial Vehicle Operations, and in that position is responsible for the department's freight, rail, waterway, and CVO programs and activities. He has been with the Minnesota DOT for 11 years and has over 30 years of multimodal transportation planning, operations, and management experience. He has worked for local, regional, and state transportation agencies, as well as consulting and technology firms in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Massachusetts. He has degrees from the University of Wisconsin and the University of North Carolina. Gordon Proctor is an independent consultant who has specialized in performance management, strategic planning, and asset management in the transportation sectors. His recent projects include an international scan on linking transportation budgets to accountability, streamlining the project agreement process with railroads, and in developing strategic plans for AASHTO. He was with the Ohio Department of Transportation for 15 years before forming his own company in 2007. At the Ohio DOT, he served as the head of planning, chief of staff, and director. Jeffrey Short is a senior research associate with the American Transportation Research Institute. In that capacity, he has studied a variety of freight transportation topics. He currently serves as ATRI's project manager for the FHWA-sponsored Freight Performance Initiative, which has developed a national system for measuring the performance of truck movement along U.S. freight corridors and at international border crossings. He holds an MS from the Georgia Tech and a BA from Emory University. I'd now like to go over a few logistical details prior to starting the seminar. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes allocated for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If during the presentations you think of a question, you could type it into the chat area. Please make sure you send your question to everyone and indicate which presenter your question is for. The presenters will not be answering the questions during their presentations, but I'll start off the Q&A session with the questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through all the questions that have been typed in, the operator will give you instructions on how to ask a question over the phone. If you think of a question after the seminar, you can send it to the presenters directly, or I encourage you to use the Freight Planning Listserv. If you haven't already joined the listserv, the web address at which you can register is provided on the slide on your screen. Again, I'd like to remind you that the session is being recorded, and a file containing the audio and the visual portion of the seminar will be posted to the Talking Freight website within the next few weeks. We encourage you to direct others in your office that may have not been able to attend to access the recording. The PowerPoint presentations used today are available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen. The presentations will also be available online, and I'll notify all attendees of the availability of the PowerPoints, the recording, and a transcript of the seminar. One final note, Talking Freight seminars are eligible for 1.5 certification maintenance credits for AICP members. In order to obtain credit for today's seminar, you must have logged in with your first and last name, or if you're attending with a group of people, have your name typed into the chat box. I've included more detailed instructions in the file share box on how to obtain your credits after the seminar, and actually I just noticed they're not there, but I will get them posted once we get started. I'll also be posting an evaluation form into the file share box, and for those of you applying for AICP credits, as well as those of you who aren't, I encourage you to submit the evaluation form to me after you've filled it out so that we could continue to improve these seminars and make them as best as possible for you. So we'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic, for those of you who just joined us, is freight performance measures, and our first presenter will be Bill Gardner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation. As a reminder, if you have questions during the presentation, please type them into the chat box and they'll be answered during the Q&A session in the last half hour of the seminar. So with that, Bill, I'm going to bring up your presentation and you can go ahead.
Very good. Thanks, Jennifer. And good afternoon or good morning, depending upon where you are in the country. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about freight performance measures from a state DOT perspective, and about how and why states are coming together in different ways to really try to define and develop some common freight measures and indicators, and ultimately create an agreed upon a national set of freight metrics. There have been a number of states active in freight performance measurement for some time. States like ours regularly report measures that are relevant to the programs and investments that we make, as well as broader indicators of transportation system performance. For purposes of reporting measures, we typically classify the world in two ways. One, things as an agency that we have direct control over, and two, those things that we don't have direct control over, but we may in fact influence or at least have a policy commitment that says this is something we care about. For example, MnDOT, like other DOTs, regularly reports on highway pavement conditions and traffic congestion and dashboards that contain specific performance targets, primarily to guide internal decision making about investments. But we also report on broader trends for freight performance. For example, the amount of freight tonnage moving through our water ports, it really is an indicator of overall economic activity and the state's competitiveness. MnDOT produces an overall transportation performance report on an annual basis, as you can see here, as do a number of other states like Washington DOT, North Dakota, Maryland, and many others that are really targeted to decision makers as well as the general public. And they typically contain a mix of measures and indicators and also typically include at least some freight-related content. State-sponsored university and consultant research has helped a number of states to define and develop relevant freight measures. For example, Oregon State University and Portland State Universities recently completed quite a comprehensive assessment for the Oregon DOT. Multi-state and corridor groups like the AASHTO Mississippi Valley Freight Coalition and the I-95 Corridor Coalition have also completed significant work in freight performance measures. And states are actively involved in freight research projects under the Transportation Research Board's National Cooperative Freight Research Program. A number of these projects address freight data and metrics. In particular, the project you'll be hearing about today from Gordon Proctor. AASHTO's Standing Committee on Performance Measurement has really helped to serve as a venue for continuing state dialogue on transportation measures of all types, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. And certainly states continue to develop freight performance measures as part of statewide freight plans or their statewide transportation plan, and many of you use freight advisory committees to get some private sector input to help ensure that the measures that we're using or promoting are relevant to the freight industry as well. Recently, a lot of the push for states to work together on freight performance measures has been the result of federal transportation legislation that's been introduced. I think there's really a desire amongst the states to kind of get ahead of the curve and to be part of the solution for developing a national system of performance measures rather than just having something imposed upon them. House Bill 3617, sponsored last year by Minnesota Congressman Oberstar, includes in the overall reauthorization act a freight improvement program, which is designed to improve operations, capacity, and access, and to support economic development. The House bill proposes that several categories of freight system performance be measured and monitored by each state, including speed, reliability, and access. It also proposes a federal-state reporting process that I think has maybe raised some eyebrows and perhaps some level of concern amongst the states, not knowing exactly how target levels would be set by the feds and what this would be used for. For example, would it be used for just state-to-state comparisons? Would it be used for funding allocations? Would it be used to impose new requirements on states that aren't meeting their performance targets? So questions like this has motivated a lot of states to elevate the national conversation about performance measures and really, again, take a leadership role in how this all might play out. On the Senate side, Senators Lautenberg from New Jersey and Senators Murray and Cantwell from Washington State recently introduced Senate Bill 3629, also called the Freight Act, which is probably one of the more creative acronyms I've heard in a while. The act establishes a national freight transportation policy. It defines objectives and identifies some really fairly specific goals, as you can see here. that includes increasing travel time reliability on major freight corridors. The bill requires within 2 years of enactment that a national freight transportation strategic plan be developed with a proposed investment plan and priority freight corridors and gateways. It establishes a new USDOT freight office to be headed by an Assistant Secretary of Freight Planning and Development, and it establishes a competitive infrastructure grant program that's open to any public entity, and it's really modeled on the TIGER program. Overall, the Act proposes a performance-based approach for freight project selection and attainment of goals, but the focus seems to be on a nationally defined freight system and its performance rather than individual state performance. In order to provide leadership in developing a national system of performance measures and to prepare states for this kind of new federal legislation, ASHTO Standing Committee on Performance Management, which is chaired by Pete Ron of Missouri, has established 8 task forces for the purposes of, quote, identifying decision support tools and appropriate performance measures, guidance, and education. As you can see, the task forces represent kind of a mix of functional and topical areas and does include a freight slash economic development task force. This particular freight task force is chaired by my commissioner, Tom Sorrell, is a very strong advocate for multimodal transportation. The Freight Task Force initially included 8 or 9 states, and we've tried to broaden the conversation to include more states by conducting a national survey, which I'd like to talk a little bit more about. We contacted the designated ASHTO freight representative for each state DOT, asking them to complete an online survey with a number of questions about how we should go about developing freight performance measures on a national basis. We received a total of 21 state DOTs responding. As a starting point, the survey focused on the 3 measurement categories suggested in the House bill: speed or travel time, reliability, and access, with the thinking that state DOTs are most interested in state and regional system performance, in particular a highway system performance, with these categories representing key attributes of that system. So I'd like to present the results of really these 4 questions that you see here. We asked states to rate the importance of each of these categories to their own state. We also asked for input on how freight access should be defined, which geographic scale is most important, and perhaps most significant, how the measures should be used. Of the 3 broad categories, the highest rated was reliability, followed by speed or travel time, and then access. We don't really know, without more probing, whether the respondents were equating importance with system need or whether they were trying to represent system users in their responses, in other words, the trucking community, for example. Ranking system reliability as a top priority is consistent, I think, with other research about private sector freight transportation needs that suggests a more predictable system helps to optimize service planning, what mode to use, what route to take, and when to travel, which in turn, of course, can help to minimize costs. We asked about access and what that means to people, suggesting several possible responses, as you can see here. Respondents said that the adequacy of connecting roadways to major highways and also of last-mile roadway connectors to major freight-generating facilities are the most important definitions of freight access. But certainly access can be defined in a lot of other ways and would be very different for some of the other modes like rail or commercial waterway navigation. We asked what's the most important geographic scale, statewide versus significant freight corridors versus urbanized areas versus secondary freight corridors versus border crossings. And the results were pretty much the same across each of the categories of speed, reliability, and access. This graph shows the results for the reliability category only, with the overwhelming top responses being significant freight corridors and urbanized areas. We know that both recurring and non-recurring traffic congestion in urbanized areas is the source of a lot of unreliability, and significant freight corridors are those that provide critical ideas on how best to use freight performance measures and how not to use them. The highest rated use was for evaluation of project impacts on system performance. In other words, capturing the impacts of, say, a construction project or operational improvement on overall corridor performance. In some of the comments and discussion we had with other states, some states are genuinely concerned about how freight measures might be used and foresee some scenarios where they think they might not receive what they perceive to be an equitable share of the funding, or they would be unfairly compared against other states by ignoring local circumstances, or not fully valuing the contribution of the freight assets in their state to the national freight system, and so forth. So a number of concerns there about going down this avenue. Based upon the input and discussion thus far, the task force at this point recommends pursuing measures of reliability as well as speed or travel time on significant freight corridors, including urban corridors. There seems to be a general consensus on these priorities and their definitions. There's a national database of truck GPS data that Jeff Short will be talking about, which FHWA and ATRI has made available to the states, which can be used to calculate the measures, and thus there will be comparability in that data across the states. We do have, I think, some substantial work ahead, some of which is unchartered territory for the most part. We need to agree on what is a significant freight corridor. Are we talking about the interstate system, the national network, the national highway system, some other definition of the national freight system? We need to do some vetting, additional vetting, with metropolitan planning organizations, and in particular with the private sector freight community. We do need to get our arms, around the concept of access, and we certainly have other freight modes, intermodal service, and economic measures to consider. So lots of things to pursue. In summary, I think the states have gotten off to a good start at trying to define freight performance measures at a national level. We certainly welcome additional participation in this effort. I think at this point I'll stop here with my presentation and look forward to the discussion a little bit later.
Well, thank you, Bill. I see we do have a few questions typed in, and we'll get to those after all three presentations. So I'm now going to turn it over to Gordon Proctor of Gordon Proctor & Associates. And Gordon, if you give me a minute, I will bring up your presentation. Okay, you can go ahead.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. Well, our project was the National Cooperative Freight Research Project Program 03, and I have to stress that the final research has not been approved or published. So everything I'll be talking about here is very preliminary as to the research as it is underway. But a very broad project objective, which was to develop performance measures to gauge the freight transportation system and support investment operations policy decisions, and to be relevant to both the public and private sectors. We had a fairly broad scope, and the areas of emphasis that were included in the scope of work were all of these. So it's basically every aspect of how the freight network affects the national transportation system or affects society. So we had a very broad scope of work and a very broad area of emphasis. And I think this breadth is probably reflective of society's very diverse interest in freight. And it's also reflective of the foundational nature of this research. This is just the third project in the freight research program. We did the literature review is common on these projects, and I think what we found from looking at an awful lot of private sector use of performance measures in particular was that if we were to develop a set of performance metrics for the freight system, we might want to include ones that are very forward-looking and leading indicators, and not just backward-looking and lagging indicators. We also may want to juxtapose competing values, such as efficiency and effectiveness against costs and safety and environmental impacts, because the concerns of society about freight are quite diverse, and that something such as a balanced scorecard may be a good way to portray freight performance measures, because it does compare the competing interest into one set of metrics. Whatever metrics we come up with will probably need to be composite ones so that we could roll up performance into a national level or drill down into a local level if the local MPO or state wanted to do that. Another thing that we came across repeatedly was that in addition to providing metrics, we probably, in a freight performance system, need to provide interpretation, because sometimes just a set of numbers may not give insight into why a trend occurred. Also, if we're going to develop a set of national freight performance metrics, we need to develop an architecture so that the data systems, the databases are all compatible and consistent. And if we were to do this, we should expect the metrics to evolve, because in nearly every case where there are performance measure systems, they have evolved quite consistently. We spent quite a bit of time talking to the private sector and interviewing them, trying to see if we could come up with a common set of metrics that would be of interest to both the public and the private sector. And what we found was that while the private sector uses performance measures very intensely in their own operations, only very few of them had expressed any interest in government-provided metrics. In fact, when we did a survey of the private sector, two-thirds said they had never sought publicly provided performance metrics, and they seemed to struggle to think about how they would use them, with the exception of the things that Jeff Short will be talking about in a little bit in terms of travel time reliability. Now, when I say the private sector, I'm talking about day-to-day logistics people that we interviewed, and that they didn't express a lot of interest in government-provided performance metrics. The exception to that, though, was the trade associations. Associations such as the Chamber of Commerce and so on were very interested in performance metrics, particularly as to how the national transportation system is performing, because they understand the policy and investment implications for that. So I need to clarify the difference between the trade associations, who are very interested in metrics, and the private sector people who use metrics intensely in their own operations but hadn't expressed a lot of interest for government-provided performance metrics. The private sector, when we did our survey, ranked the measures they use in this sort of rank order: their cost, the timeliness of their own shipment reliability, their own performance, and the performance of their vendors. And they were very, very interested in the cost of logistics, and they were also interested in the performance of national transportation networks. We found quite a bit of contrast when we surveyed the public sector, and the public sector primarily being many of the same people that Bill surveyed, and also some of the state planning people, that the rankings between the public and the private sector respondents were basically inverse from each other. While the highest ranked measures were cost in the private sector, network performance was the highest rated measure in the public sector, and cost was a very low rated measure from the public sector respondents. So we found quite a bit of difference in what they were interested in. We also found an awful lot of balkanization among the public stakeholders when asked what performance metrics they needed. And by this, I mean the environmental agencies were interested in environmental measures, the water agencies were interested in water measures, and the highway agencies were interested in highway measures, and the rail rail agencies were interested in rail measures. So we didn't find a lot of cross-cutting interest in particular measures. They were all interested in travel time, reliability, cost, and so on. But when you try to boil it down to a particular metric, we struggled to find a lot of commonality. So we found little cross-sector concurrence, and that the public and private sectors were looking at this quite differently. Some of the agencies, such as the Army, really struggled to think of, if we were trying to provide metrics that would work for them, were there any that were relevant, and they really struggled with it. They said what they needed on the battlefield was quite different from what they needed in terms of their logistics of supplies here in the United States. And interestingly, the ports were consistently skeptical of any comparative measurement, both the port association and the individual port measures. And primarily they were repeatedly saying that each individual port was so different in terms of its land side connections, in terms of whether it was a container port or a bulk port, that the ports were quite consistent. consistently skeptical that performance measures that would consistently compare ports could be developed. The research team also looked very hard at data. If we were to develop a national set of freight performance measures, that we're going to obviously have to have very consistent data of a very high quality. It's going to have to be available consistently, and it's going to have to be sustainable. We did two case studies of the freight analysis framework and the transportation services index, thinking both of those offered some good examples of a nationwide system for measuring, not necessarily measuring freight performance, but at least monitoring freight performance. And one thing, if we are to develop a freight performance measurement system, it will take some substantial investment. The FAF cost $1.6 million to get up and running. And TSI, which is basically three measures, took a staff of 22 people to start and takes a staff of five to sustain. So the implications of this are that if we are to develop a set of national freight performance measures, we need to think through how we fund and staff them, because the upfront startup costs seem to be significant and the level of effort would be significant. The major constraints to developing a national measurement system, there are several. I mean, obviously, right now we have ambiguous national goals. We don't have a single agency with a broad span to compile all the measures that the public may be interested in. We don't have a dedicated budget. And we don't have any common data definitional protocols right now across all the agencies as to how they would actually report metrics. Another thing that we found is that even if we produce metrics, and we should, but we should also provide interpretation, because if a policymaker in particular is going to understand a set of measures, they may need to understand the context that came with them, and that a lot of the best state-of-the-practice performance measurement systems we found also had with them substantial narrative to explain the trends that underlie the performance that was reported. Also, we need to describe what good performance is and what our definition of it is, because we found that good performance could be interpreted quite differently. So if we're going to produce a set of metrics, we need to produce also a supporting documentation as to what we mean, and that we need to provide context and understanding in addition to just a set of numbers. One example would be the cost of logistics as a percent of gross domestic product, and this comes from the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals. And it's a very good metric in that it looks at the total cost of logistics and divides that by the amount of the gross domestic product to see how efficient the logistics process has been. And the red line that you see over time there shows the logistics costs as a percent of GDP have consistently gone down, and that's generally good. Until you get to the last year and you see that plunge at the right side of the graphic in 2008. So initially you might say, well, that's good. It means the logistics industry got very efficient. But what it really is reflecting is a severe downturn in manufacturing output and a severe downturn in freight movement, which is obviously not very good for the economy. And this is an example of how we're saying if we are going to produce a set of performance metrics, we ought to produce interpretive data to go with it to put those trends and that data into perspective. Now, even though we have an awful lot of obstacles to developing a national set of freight performance measures, there are an awful lot of opportunities that we found in looking at the literature and the measures that are out there, that society has an awful lot of what we call in the report inferred performance measures, such as air quality emissions, crash rates, hazardous material releases, custom and trade volumes. These metrics were not devised necessarily as national freight performance measures, but they're available. And what we found is that for areas of externality, such as crashes or air quality or hazardous materials releases, society had actually had fairly defined goals, had fairly defined protocols for measuring them. And as we go forward, actually the measurement of freight impacts in terms of their externalities may be among the more mature areas of measurement that are out there. Air quality, for instance, all the regions who do air quality conformity analysis, if you dissect their data that goes into that, you can make some reasonable inferences of how much of the air quality emissions came from freight. Injuries to pedestrians on railroads and at crossings are very closely monitored. Truck safety is very closely reported. And on the other, another opportunity is from the private sector, groups such as the Association of American Railroads, the American Trucking Association, and others produce an awful lot of data that could be captured and is quite sound. It could go into a national freight performance measurement system. So there are opportunities such as those provided by the Association of American Railroads, which for nearly a decade has produced a very good, incredible website of comparative performance measures among all the railroads. In Australia, the states in Australia and in New Zealand have cooperated for more than a decade on a performance measurement dashboard. Groups such as the Corps of Engineers, EPA, Commerce, RITA all produce metrics that could be gathered and put into a performance measure system. So what is possible? As we look at it, it does appear to be possible that a first-generation cooperative freight system report card could be developed. It could be modeled upon the cooperative report card that the Association of American Railroads or AusRoads puts together, and it could compile a set of metrics looking at things such as efficiency, effectiveness, cost, externalities, and so on. Here's an example of how a simple freight report card could look. One thing we think may be important is trend analysis and not just point in time. As we said, we think leading indicators are important. Trend line is important. So you could take something such as truck injury and fatal crashes. Its 10-year trend has been very positive. The number of both injury and fatal crashes have gone down. You could produce an at-a-glance analysis, thumbnail analysis, and a 20-year forecast based upon the data and trends that you see. The example here is we were trying to think if we had to take all these measures and boil them down to one or two pages that a member of Congress or a governor or a new DOT director could pick up and look at and get a complete understanding of what the trends have been in major areas such as efficiency, effectiveness, investment, cost, crashes, emissions, that they could get it. Now, this by itself has some value and limited value, but we think it would be important to provide 10-year past performance, a forecast of future performance, and then link it, importantly, to source documents so that a person could dig into these. This dashboard is obviously quite brief, and a person who wanted to understand more of it would have to seek some additional information. And so what we think might be a good idea is what we call tiers of insight. So if we do produce a national freight performance report card, for each metric ought to have a summary report which provides a little more information, and each one ought to link to a source report, in this case, the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals annual report on the cost of logistics as percent of GDP. So part of what we think we all may want to consider, if we do develop a freight performance measurement system, we ought to also perhaps develop concurrent with that a documentation system that explains the metrics and explains the detail behind them. If we're going to use these for policy and investment decisions, people such as governors or congressmen or state legislators or even those of us who work day-to-day in the transportation field are going to need a lot more information than just a simple number to dig into. And so as we develop a freight performance measurement system, we ought to think of an underlying documentation system that provides the reports so a person could drill into the numbers if they need to. So what would society learn from a simple report card such as we produce that has thumbnail metrics on efficiency and effectiveness and crashes and air quality emissions and future investment? Well, they would learn that obviously the freight volumes have increased dramatically, that the freight system has been stressed and that its future performance is uncertain, that we have made significant progress in some areas such as safety and air quality, but that in the area of greenhouse emissions, we have not made much progress, and the forecasts are for greenhouse emissions from freight to continue to grow. The report card would also show at a glance that our infrastructure is aging, that the level of investment is probably lacking, and that the overall future performance of the report card or the freight system may be uncertain. The The impediments to developing such a system are that we need to develop a consensus among a broad group of stakeholders is to begin and to begin with what we have. Obviously, some sort of budget and staff are going to be necessary to compile and support this. We're going to need a broad number of agencies to be willing to contribute. And then a consensus has to develop among people like ourselves that we would emulate what the Association of American Railroads or Ausroads have done to begin a cross-departmental reporting process to develop a national set of metrics. The potential rewards are great. We could have a consistent, reliable source of freight information. There's a potential for significant expansion. You could take any one of these metrics, such as air quality, and expand it into its own sub-report card for the person who wanted more detail. There's also this kind of metric reporting system that pulls together metrics from a variety of sources is probably the most easily produced. And if we were to develop a system, it probably would increase society's understanding of the importance of freight. And with that, I will stop and turn it over to Jeff and answer questions later at the end of the program.
Well, thank you, Gordon. We have a good number of questions and comments coming in, and so I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Short, our final presenter for today of the American Transportation Research Institute, and then we'll get to the questions. So, Jeff, you can begin when you're ready.
All right, thank you. We're now going to move from a broad discussion of freight performance measures to a discussion of specific measures related to the travel speed, reliability, and distribution of truck movement along the nation's highway. Specifically, I'm going to be discussing Federal Highway Administration's Freight Performance Measures Initiative and the work associated with that project. As background, the Freight Performance Measures Program, also known as FPM, is an ongoing project which began in 2002. ATRI is the lead research group on this project, and the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations is the leading sponsor of this program. The program compiles a monthly data set of truck position data and related information such as speed, time information, date stamp information. Each record within the data set also contains a latitude and longitude as well. And all of this information is processed and managed to produce performance measurements. And just as an additional side note to that, the data set consists of billions of data records from several hundred thousand unique trucks. So it's a pretty gigantic amount of information that is managed through this program. So what's the purpose of collecting all of this information? Why do we turn truck position data into freight performance measures? First, on a national scale, it's important to identify highway improvements that would benefit freight movement. Such an activity is further benefited from using a standardized data set that is national in scope, such as the one that we look at. The data actually covers all of North America. And it's all consistent across North America. If a truck goes to a certain place and it's in our data set, then we will have a record of it. Therefore, we don't have truck information for roads that don't allow trucks on them, for instance. It's also important to know the effectiveness of those investments that are made to improve performance at specific locations. Say there's an investment made in a bottleneck location. This is generally a function of accountability. One location of note is in Chicago. When we first did our bottleneck analysis in 2007, we noticed a location that had pretty bad traffic congestion during AM and PM peak periods. Well, it turns out it was a construction zone, and after the construction was complete, the location operated at free flow speeds at all hours of the day. So one might say that this was a successful investment. In general, it's also important to understand and benchmark levels of congestion, especially in urban areas. It allows, for example, for a full understanding of those costs related to specific urban choke points. And finally, measuring economic activity and where freight is coming to, where freight's going to and coming from is of interest to many who are involved in transportation planning as well as economic development and other areas. Therefore, the story of the nation's freight movements and routes can be told through this analysis of freight performance measures and of this data set. Next, we move on to key measures. The key measures that we look at through this program are average speed and speed data in general. And these measures are central to producing transportation system performance measures related to efficiency. The measures that we produce are derived from both the analysis of spot speeds and the calculation of space mean speed, or average speed, over a highway length. Additionally, the link speeds can be converted to travel time. We also look at reliability measures, which are essentially measures of the consistency of travel times over a period of time, typically over a period of time that's longer than 1 year, as was mentioned on a reliability webinar yesterday, in fact. Finally, we look at truck flows, which is, as I mentioned earlier, very telling of economic activity, travel patterns, demand for roadways, and that sort of thing. So first, just to get into some greater detail on the actual measures, let's look at system performance that is measured at the interstate level through the FPM program. At a national level, we are producing measures for and analyzing more than 20,000 multi-directional highway segments, which is roughly 30,000 miles of interstate highway, using space mean speed calculations. You see on this map, the coverage that we have through this type of performance measurement. What you see in the map is basically a GIS presentation of the average speed data during a one-year time period. So there's a very large amount of information behind just these colored lines. Moving through the slides further, you can see close-ups of the regions. This is the eastern region. You see red in, of course, the New York City area, Chicago area. Here's west and south. The information behind these maps allows us to determine average travel speed and time, as well as travel reliability for those 25 freight significant interstate corridors. Those average speeds can be viewed by time of day, day of week, etc., and are utilized to conduct ongoing measurements of mobility across these corridors. Additionally, the data behind these maps is available to transportation agencies through a tool called FPM Web, which many of you may have heard of already. That tool can be found at www.freightperformance.org. And we'll next move on to system performance at the urban corridor level. In addition to these broad interstate corridors, the FPM program uses spot speed data to determine the performance of much, much smaller segments of urban corridor highways. This map that you see here is of Houston. There are no road layers on this map. It is just pure truck position data. The green indicates that the trucks are moving at a highway free flow speed. Many of the red and yellow and orange areas are slower trucks or trucks that are stopped at particular facilities. And I'll move on to the next slide. One example of the work that we've been doing in this area is freight bottleneck monitoring work. And in 2009, the program conducted an analysis of average travel rates using this type of urban spot speed data at 100 national locations, which are indicated on this map. These are the 100 locations that we looked at, and quantified the level of congestion experienced by hour of day at each location. Most highly congested areas of the 100 monitored locations are shown in this chart. It is planned that up to 250 locations will monitored by 2011. The results of this analysis will be released as a report on 2010 activity at the beginning of next year. So we will be increasing the number of areas of locations that are monitored for this particular type of analysis. We'll be increasing that greatly in the year to come. Monitoring reports for each location include peak and non-peak average speeds, as shown in this example. A congestion index was created for each location, which takes into account the number of trucks that give position reads at each location, as well as the severity and duration of times when free flow speeds are not reached. When combined with data on trucking operational costs, that is found in studies like this 2008 ATRI study, the cost of freight bottlenecks, such as this one we saw previously, can be quantified. Here is just, this is a look at some of the operational cost information that goes into our calculations. We've determined that on average, the marginal operating costs per mile are $1.73 and per hour are $83.68. So if you take this type of information and plug it into a location such as this particular bottleneck called Spaghetti Junction in Atlanta, Georgia, and you look at the hourly decreases in speed during peak periods, especially the PM peak period, average truck speeds are down to 25 miles per hour in this location, you can come up with a calculation. In this case, it's $5.7 million annually of additional marginal operating costs that the trucking industry receives for just these particular operating costs. If you add up that across all locations in the U.S. and add additional costs beyond what's included in the calculation, and add up costs related to passenger vehicle operators, etc., this number increases exponentially. And it's certainly, large numbers like this certainly justify infrastructure investment. Next, a brief discussion on border crossing information that we collect. The program is actually in the middle of producing a new border crossing tool that will calculate border crossing performance measures. The information produced by this tool using the FPM data will be available to the public. It'll show monthly or weekly average trip times between two virtual locations that are depicted here in this graphic. Next, moving on to freight flows. Where and when freight is moving tells the story of which highways are critical to the freight transportation system and what economic activity is occurring. The first method of truck flow analysis that we could conduct for FPM utilizes the space mean speed database that we discussed earlier that produces measures for the 25 interstate corridors that were shown earlier. Each segment of highway has a certain number of vehicle trips that go into a given average travel rate calculation. Counting those numbers can give us an idea of when and where freight is moving. As shown in this map, thicker lines indicate higher levels of demand during the particular four-hour time period depicted in the map. Another example of this type of truck movement analysis is shown here through a statewide example. This is the state of Georgia. Patterns on the map clearly show key freight hubs as well as roads that make economic activity at those locations possible. Again, there are no road layers in this map. These are just the trips that I believe it's a, you know, 1 or 2 or 5 day segment of trucks were pulled to show the lines of their travel and to show what type of activity was occurring. When when this information is analyzed in the GIS environment, of course, high-level origin-destination patterns begin to emerge. Here's a close-up. Next slide is a close-up of the Atlanta metro area, and you can see that the major truck movements, the majority of truck movements, are going through city of Atlanta through this key point where Interstate 85, 75, and Interstate 20 meet. But you can see an outer beltway where cities like Rome and Athens are included in this freight activity. Moving on to the next slide. Finally here, I'm going to move through a series of slides that show freight flows for trucks that are traveling from three different urban areas. The first location is Chicago. As we progress through these slides, you will first see the origin location of 1,000 trucks that are used in each analysis. So here's where we took, 1,000 trucks that were at a given point, at a given time of day, on a particular day, and I believe it was October 2009, at this particular location, and then after one day of travel, after 24 hours, this is where those vehicles had moved to. And then after 2 days, this is their location. Within 5 days, they've reached these locations. You see some trucks have made it all the way to California, Florida, New York City. Many are staying within the region and going back and forth, of course. And here's after 7 days. Next, I'll show you Phoenix in the bottom left corner. After 1 day, after 2 days, after 5 days, and after 7 days. And finally, I'll quickly move through Detroit, or actually this is Flint, Michigan, an even smaller location. After 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, and 7 days. And it's interesting to notice here in this slide the clear connection between Mexico and the Ontario, Detroit, Flint region. There's clearly travel between those locations. And that's all I have. I will turn it